Hello, and welcome to Sailing Through Life. I'm Lori, your host and a friend on this journey. Join me as I share conversations that give you hope, passion, and vision to live a more fulfilled life, even when going through some of life's most challenging times. Discover new ways to focus on your health and well-being through modifying your habits and self-care routines and improving your mindset. Create the life you desire by finding the positive in life and realizing the strength and resilience you have inside. This supportive community will inspire you through the life experiences of my guests, as well as hearing my own crazy, wonderful adventure. Set sail with me on this journey to health, happiness, and living your dreams. Let us show you how as you sail through life. Welcome aboard. I just want to say thank you to all of you listening today, and a special shout out to those of you in Canada. I really appreciate you and hope to continue to bring inspiration to your day. You know how important this is for me, and I would love to grow this extraordinary community of support, encouragement, and understanding. You can support the show by sharing it with your friends and family or making a financial contribution. That will help us reach more listeners with these messages of hope and empowerment. Visit sailingthroughlifepodcast.com to learn more. What do you do when life doesn't turn out the way you thought it would? My guest, Deborah Fletcher, and I will explore the power of resilience and joy. When life delivers those dark moments, how do we respond? Many of us stumble through, even push away from change. But it is in that change where we see the growth and discover a new path to peace. Deborah received a valuable message from her dad that got her through her challenges with her daughter's diagnosis with severe disabilities. She's here to inspire us to thrive and to find hope and acceptance in our situations. Her recent book was inspired by her dad and the stories of how he lived with grace and the lessons she learned, all of which became the foundation for Finding Your Hey, a crash course in braving grief and embracing joy.
Why me? Why her? And I eventually just got to the point where I thought to myself, well, why not me? Why not her? Good things don't always happen to good people. It is pretty random. And so just appreciating that, bad things can happen and good things can happen. And let's just appreciate the good things when they happen and try and sail through the bad things with as much humor and acceptance and looking on the bright side of things.
A change can spur grieving the old version of you before embracing the new version of you. Resilience is the ability to bounce back after experiencing hardship. It's also known as the capacity for positive adaptation in the face of adversity. Joy is an emotion that comes from within us. It is up to us to see the smallest moments as blessings and to feel grateful. I'd like to welcome my guest today, Deborah Fletcher. Hi, Deb. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Today's episode is going to be a good contrast between life events and the before and after. As you go through life, you're always guaranteed you're going to come into some event that knocks you off your feet. In that moment, you get to decide how you want to get through it, how you want to respond to it, and what you want to take out of it. And that's our conversation today, is learning how to go through feelings or experiences of grief or loss and working through those emotions. And then what we do on the other side after we get through those challenges, how do we get to that point where we're feeling that peace, where we find our joy again, and we see what we've been through and can acknowledge it and commend ourselves for doing something so unbelievably hard at times. Thanks for discussing this with me.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So I know you've been through your own set of challenges and you're speaking from experience here today. Would you give us a little insight to what it is that's happened to you and how that led you to this place we're in now?
You know, I had a reasonably, I guess, uneventful upbringing. And what's funny is that life doesn't prepare you for when things go wrong or, you know, just in general, our expectations aren't met. It's funny, I always say, you know, if I knew what I would be going through, would I have, you know, would I have done things differently or would I have just been really a really depressed teenager? But as luck would have it, or as life would have it, I guess you could say, when I gave birth to my daughters, who are now 23, one of them was born with severe disabilities. Learned that fact when they were about 3 weeks old. So, you know, they were born prematurely, but so happy that they were born at 30 weeks, which is sufficient enough time for them to be, you know, sort of fully formed and healthy. Unfortunately, there was something that happened during the birth. So one of my daughters was deprived of oxygen and she has cerebral palsy, among other disabilities. Mm-hmm. We learned that when they were 3 weeks old, because when preemies are born, they typically do an ultrasound on their brains right away and then another one 3 weeks later. So that's when we found out that there was damage residing in her brain. That was the moment. We were devastated. And, you know, it really is a moment in time, you know, what you're saying before and after. When they were born, so being born at 30 weeks, they weren't all that interesting. They just slept most of the time, right? They were just like, literally, they were like kittens 24 hours a day. And so I just sat there in the NICU with them. Mm-hmm. And I decided to write a journal about, you know, our lives together, my husband and I, and then the pregnancy and everything else leading up to the moment of birth. And then I wrote about that. And then I wrote about all of the things that were going on in the hospital. And then at the 3 week mark, they had their ultrasounds and we learned that she was brain damaged. And I kept writing because they were still in the hospital for another 3.5 weeks after that. So when I read that journal, there is the 3 weeks before and the 3 weeks after. And it's really hard to read because my emotions are so raw. And I mean, it was just, it was in the purest form of grief. And what's interesting is that, you know, there was really that before and after, my entire life before that moment, and then the past 23 years after.
My daughter was premature. And she had a lot of health issues. So I do relate to you in a lot of ways. And then at a month old, we found out she had a heart defect. On top of everything else, how sick I was, how sick she was when she was born. And you feel like a failure that you as a mom weren't able to perform and do what comes naturally. There was a struggle in that. And there was a fight that happened. So you have this whole energy leading up to having this wonderful life, and then you watch it just escape through your fingers.
Exactly. And it's funny because, you know, we're not supposed to leave the hospital and leave our baby in the hospital, right? So there's that aspect as well. And it goes against everything in you as a mom. You know, it's, you know, I felt like a cat that I had growing up when we gave away her kittens. You know, that's not supposed to happen. And so exactly what you're saying, and that, you know, I knew my life would never be the same and that we would never have the life that I envisioned. And I actually didn't know to what extent her disabilities would compromise her. So, you know, up to that point, we'd been picturing these two little girls running around, because having twins was a shock. I mean, we found out in an ultrasound, and I wanted to know what they were, because I felt like I had to prepare myself that there were going to be two of them. So we knew they were girls. And so our excitement level just went through the roof. And then when they were born, we were just giddy, you know, and picturing running around after them and picturing our life. And so our life did not turn out that way. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, so the grief is compounded in that way, because you grieve for your child and for what they will never experience. Mm-hmm. You grieve for yourself and what your life will never be. And I also grieved for Emma, for my daughter Quinn's twin sister, that she would not know what it was like to live in a, you know, quote unquote, normal family, mm-hmm. and that her relationship with her sibling would be different than other people's relationships with their siblings. So there was just that gigantic compounded grief. And then in I did the worst thing in the first year. I can't remember when I did it, but I read My Left Foot, which I don't know if you remember the book and the movie. It was about a young man in Ireland, and he's born to this gigantic family with all these siblings, and he has cerebral palsy. And it ends up that the only thing he was able to move was his left foot, and he learned how to write with his left foot. So it's this, you know, this story of you know, overcoming adversity. But the part that absolutely destroyed me was, I think he was around 6 or 7 when he finally realized that he was different and that he couldn't get up and run around like his other siblings. And that destroyed me, because I hadn't thought about her own grief.
Right.
So that was not the right time to. So there's all this. This is all sounding very, very maudlin and sad. And it was. The first year was full of, you know, a lot of sadness. And when they were 6 months old, we got the final diagnosis that she would be extremely disabled. And so she has no finer gross motor skills. She's in a wheelchair. She's nonverbal. She only eats through a G-tube in her stomach. She wears diapers at age 23, yada, 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 right? So we learned at 6 months that she would be that disabled. So that was another blow. So that first year wasn't a lot of fun. And yet there were those moments of joy. You know, the first time she smiled and just her personality came out. And then I had Emma, her twin sister, who was developing fairly, you know, according to what the development was supposed to be for a baby born at 30 weeks. And so I've got this mix of all of these emotions, you know, that, so it was a really challenging time.
And it's interesting, you know, even though this story is about your daughter and how you've had to process what happened to you, it runs parallel to a lot of stories of things being taken away or things not playing out the way we thought, or getting that surprise news that isn't great.
Exactly.
And so that's why I wanted you here, because the core message of what you're telling us has to do with every category of disappointment in life, every issue that can come up, every life event that throws you a curveball, like you said. It really is that. And it's learning those skills, having those tools available to us to actually get us through this, to learn the lesson, to not necessarily fall prey to it again, to have that skill to be a better person and prepare for the next time. And you may not have all the answers, but your response would be different.
Right. Yeah. And so what's interesting is that I had watched my dad go through something years before. So when he was 46 and I was 21, he had a heart attack, and then nine days later, he had a stroke, and he was never able to work again because his mental processing was affected by the stroke. So he had to live his life knowing that he couldn't go to work with, you know, all his friends and all the fun he had at work and all that personal satisfaction and that sense of achieving everything that comes with your career. And then all his friends, you know, carried on and they developed their careers, both from a personal fulfillment and a financial perspective. I mean, he was only 46. And so I watched how he lived with that knowledge. And I saw him handle it with grace and with positivity and just gratitude for everything that he did have in his life. And he lived his life with love and fun, and he has a tremendous sense of humor. He lived to be 82. when finally his damaged heart finally did unfortunately give out. And he had a fantastic life. And he said, right at the end, he said, "I've had a wonderful life." And he was absolutely grateful. So he was kind of my poster child. He was kind of, you know, that is who I look to in the face of tremendous grief and, okay, life will never be the same. And what am I going to do about it? So he took his own disability and, you know, I mean, he was just still life of the party and still the person that we had so much respect for and held in such high regard. So that was kind of where I took my cue. And I did inherit his sense of humor and an ability to laugh at myself and the situations I get myself into. Now, there's nothing funny about having a heart attack and a stroke, but he had a sense of humor about everything. And there's nothing funny about having a daughter with multiple disabilities. But even in that first year, and certainly for the last 23 years, we have spent it laughing. And sometimes at her expense, and sometimes just at the predicaments we get ourselves into. And she has a great sense of humor as well, and she laughs right along with us. So I, you know, that one sort of tool of humor. And, you know, I remember when I was younger, I was in my 20s, and this really sort of embarrassing, really like super embarrassing, I've never even told anybody else what happened. Anyway, this situation, you know, when you just go, oh my gosh, my life is over, one of those kinds of, but I did call one girlfriend right away and told her, and we both laughed till we cried. Telling her and turning it into a funny story helped me get through those really super squirmy feelings of, oh my gosh, I can't stand it. And that's all I needed to do. I've never told anybody else the story. There's no need to. So that's how I use humor in that way. You know, when something happens in our lives, I can turn it into a funny story. And I think I've taught both of my daughters to look at their life in that way. It's almost like you look and say, okay, if this was happening to someone on a sitcom, what would this look like, you know? And certainly not everything is joke worthy, but, it's not about just dismissing events or situations that are serious. It's just about finding the funny. And maybe it's in the periphery. Maybe it's in the actual event that's happening. Maybe it's in the circumstances, but being able to laugh. And as we know, laughter is so good for us in so many ways. You know, it's a chemical release that happens in our brains, and it's a positive chemical release, unlike stress, which releases the cortisol and all of those, you know, adrenaline and all those chemicals that do damage to us. But laughter is something that is just so cleansing and healing. I don't know if you've ever done laughter yoga.
No, I haven't.
Have you ever tried it? I can't remember. I was working for an organization and they brought somebody in to do it. And I thought, okay, this sounds really weird. I'm going to try it. And so I was in a room with mostly strangers. You start off fake laughing and it's really super awkward. Like you can't make eye contact with anybody in the room. And you end up honestly laughing really, really hard. And then you're making eye contact. You're sharing these moments with the people in the room, and it's almost like you're forever bonded with them. It lifts your emotional state and, you know, all those chemicals again in your brain. Honestly, I just floated through the rest of my day. And even now when I think about it, it's kind of hard to imagine it happening, but it happened just like that. And so it just really speaks to the power of laughter. And, you know, they say that when you fake a smile, that elevates your mood. And so this is just taking it one step further, right? So instead of faking it, I actually do it for real. I do look for the funny in situations. If I'm having a hard day, which happens, you know, frequently, I will, you know, watch a funny YouTube video or think of something funny or read a funny book or do something that helps to elevate my mood. So that's just one of my dad's tools and that I've incorporated in my life. And so that's how I've sort of come through the last 23 years. And I wrote the book starting just from a place of telling my story and writing it as a memoir.
Okay.
But then I thought, I've got to give credit where credit's due. So I talk about my dad and his story. And then I interviewed, you know, sat down and had a formal interview with four of my friends and talked to them about all of the grief experiences in their lives. You know, through their stories, first of all, I've always learned from them, but also, you know, sort of gleaned these common threads and themes and wove them into strategies around how we rise above our challenges. I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine who was going through a breast cancer diagnosis. And the first thing she did, so this is, I mean, everybody's different, but for her, her response was, I've got to fundraise for an event. And so there was a walk for the cure, and she had all of us, all of her girlfriends, fundraise and walk the event with all of our daughters. And she got us all matching t-shirts, and we had the pink bandanas. And she was diagnosed in August. The walk was in October. So I think we had 6 weeks to fundraise. And she won an award for a woman's team, like provincially and nationally here in Canada.
My goodness.
I know. And so she won like a bicycle and like, and that's not for everyone.
Right.
But that was her sort of big push. This is going to get me through my, you know, the beginning of my first treatments.
Yeah. And it's something to get your focus off of your worries and put it into something positive. Even though it was a related event and it was spurred on by this diagnosis, she was able to find something to cling on to put all her energy into that instead of everything else.
Yeah.
And that is healing. That is healing because you're not weighing yourself down with all these thoughts.
Yeah. And you know, who knows? It served her so well. She, you know, the doctors said with her diagnosis that she did better than anyone could have imagined. And, you know, but it elevated her emotional state, right? Mm-hmm. So she went through everything in that state. And so we do what we can, you know, and in terms of that kind of, sort of along the same lines, my family, we fundraise for an organization here in Ontario, across Canada, actually it might be in the States too, Easter Seals. Mm-hmm. I think that might be. Yeah. And so we fundraise for that organization, helping kids with disabilities. And so we do. And so that raises our own emotional state on so many levels. And then there's the, you know, so there's all those kinds of events. And one of the stories in my book, one of my girlfriends lost her brother to suicide. And so every year they commemorate him with a huge event. It's a fundraiser for mental health services in the town that they live in. And it's a huge event where there's bands playing. So it's a music live event, dancing, and they raise thousands and thousands of dollars for mental health. And then she gets to go on stage and talk about him and show pictures of him and honor him. And it's a place to put her love for him and her grief and to feel like something positive is happening, you know, in his memory. And these kinds of, you know, things that we do for ourselves really help us. And I'm sure you can relate with doing your podcast and all of the outreach and everything that you do, you know, it helps you and your community.
I get the energy that you get from talking to other people, sharing your stories, hearing what they've been through, understanding that this thing called hope is out there. It really is. And it's catching yourself. It's getting yourself in the right place and getting yourself in front of the right people and having that relationship. So it is an important thing in my life. It's a very big part of my life. And I know how much it is helping me, but I also know how much it is helping other people. To have somebody listen to the show today to hear about how to process grief, because when you get diagnosed with something, you do. You feel like you've lost the you before. You grieve that you are not going to be that person anymore. And somebody else is now in this new chapter taking over, and they have a different experience. You can still reference the things of your past, but moving forward, your thought process is different. The community you have will be different. It'll morph into something that you need now. So there is a grieving process that you go through when you get that kind of news. So this is important. And when you talk to somebody who also has been through it, I think it takes some of that power away from the negative aspects.
I agree. Oh my gosh, you put it perfectly. That's exactly what it is. And you are grieving the you used to be, you know? And that doesn't mean that the new you can't live a wonderful, joy-filled, amazing life. It's just not going to be the one that you thought you were going to have. And, you know, we all respond to change in a negative way. That's just how human beings are built. You know, I always come back to the example of when my husband and I bought our first house, which is a happy event. And it was super cute. You know, it had a big front porch, and I finally had a yard, you know, that I could, a back garden that I could garden in. And when we moved from our apartment into the house, I felt sort of displaced, and I didn't feel good. I wasn't as joyful as I thought I would be. And I realized it's just because I've gone through a change. So even though it was a happy change, this wasn't my home. You know, I was like, what am I doing here? What's going on? But when I recognized that I'm just in a transition state, and there are things I can do to get myself into more of a state of acceptance. Mm-hmm. So I just spent time in every room of the home, not that there were very many of them, you know, decorating and making it my own, but really spending time. It's almost like that first step of acknowledging, oh, I'm feeling weird. Why am I feeling weird? Why am I not, you know, bouncing around with excitement? That helps. And then just knowing that you're going to get through this period of transition, and what lies on the other side is going to be different, but it's going to be filled with joy and all of those moments. You know, the interesting thing is that the storybooks, they used to, I don't think they do anymore, but they used to end with, you know, and they lived happily ever after.
Yeah.
And now we know that there is no happily ever after. So it's not like, oh, I've achieved this stage in my life. Now it's just going to be happiness forever. We know that life is more about a journey and something that is to be navigated. And there's going to be twists and turns. And there will be times when you think to yourself, everything is going perfectly. I'm here. I finally achieved it. And something is going to throw you a curveball, right? I mean, that's life.
Yeah, it does.
And so again, once you know that and expect it, not that you're living your life thinking, oh no, this is going to end, not from a state of pessimism, but from a state of optimism, from a state of ongoing, never ending, never wavering hope that things will change. Things will go downhill and then they'll get better. And then, you know, because it's a journey. It is more like a roller coaster, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Than the swan ride.
Oh, and that's a great way to put it too, that it is not an endpoint, a destination. It is the evolution of the journey that you're experiencing. You're not going mm-hmm. from A to B. You're going from A to B to C to D to E, and you work through the alphabet until you get to the end of your life. But there are different points in your life. Each one has a different value. Each one has a different purpose. Each one has a different lesson, and you learn different things from every experience. And those things will help you as you go along on your journey. Some of the lessons are really, really hard. But you learn a lot more about yourself. You learn about more about what you're looking forward to in life, what you want in life, what is important to you. And you really hone in on some of these things with those bigger struggles.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. And I know the term resilience is used a lot, you know, these days. So, you know, I don't want it to lose its meaning, because resilience really is about being able to bounce back when things don't go quite right. And so to your point, that's exactly what happens, is that we learn these skills and this ability to deal with a loss of expectations or actual losses in our life. And we know that we will be able to come out the other side and be okay. And it's so it's building these resilience muscles, you know, that even in those horrible times of grief, we know that we're going to be okay. You know, my dad passed away 2 years ago, and he was my guy. I mean, he was just the most amazing human being I've ever known. So going through that grief, it's not that it was easy, but it's just that I just recognized what I was going through. And when you know that you're going to come out of this moment, and there will be lots of other grief moments, you know, just this morning I was on social media, and I saw a post which reminded me of him, and I get tears in my eyes. Like, it's not that the grief is something that you get over. It's always with you. But when you build those resilience muscles, you can carry your grief easier and more effectively. And you know that life is a series of moments. Mm-hmm. You know, there are going to be sad moments. There are going to be happy moments. And there's going to be a mix of both. And they're going to come at all different times. It's just a matter of knowing that the grief won't always be as acute as it is at the beginning. It will grow into something that's a little bit more manageable. And that this is what life is all about. And accepting that this is what life is all about is, mm-hmm. is I think, part of working through any difficulty with any kind of resilience or acceptance.
Well, and it makes me think of boat life in general is a contrast. You have a lot of hard work. It's a different lifestyle, a lot of modifications, a lot of compromise. There's, you know, something's always breaking. You have all these elements of, you know, people looking at you going, where's the happiness in doing this? And then you go to the other side when you're out on the water and you're seeing new things and you're having this experience. And it's such a huge monumental moment that you can see how you get those peaks and valleys. But in the end, it's so worth it, even though it's difficult, even though what you're going through is unknown and you have a lot of challenges, you also get the reward of the good times.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, because that's something that is, you know, and it is exactly the way that I view having my children. Those moments where my daughter Quinn achieves something are just so monumental. They just reward you for those difficult moments, I guess.
Well, and these things are all relative anyway. I mean, right. That's what you're showing, that you know, as much as she's been through and what you've seen her be able to do up to that point, that was huge.
Yes. So that's exactly it. It's those, you know, those amazing moments where, whether it's with her or her sister or anything else that happens in my life, those moments become even sweeter because of, I know everybody says this, but I really have lived it and I now appreciate it, but it makes those moments so much sweeter because of everything that has happened and everything we've gone through. And being able to appreciate those moments, I think, is something that allows me to live in a state of happiness and joy, that those moments can still be appreciated, you know, because I think that if I wasn't living with positivity if I was feeling sorry for myself. And honestly, in the beginning, there were those times when I said, why me? Right? Why me? Why her?
Does, I think.
Right? And I eventually just got to the point where I thought to myself, well, why not me? Why not her? You know, there's good things don't always happen to good people, you know, and it's just, it is pretty random, have to say. And so just appreciating that bad things can happen and good things can happen. And let's just appreciate the good things when they happen and try and sail through the bad things with as much humor and acceptance and looking on the bright side of things as possible. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's true, because it without the bad times, the good times wouldn't have that meaning. You have to have that contrast between the events and the emotions and everything else. You have to have something to gauge it on. Yeah, this is a crazy life and we're figuring it out one day at a time. Some days are better than others and all those other cliches. But it's true that we have to every day give your best effort. And that's all you can do is give your best effort and know that if you see yourself repeating the same mistakes over and over with how you react or what you're doing, that it's time for a change and you need to put the effort into that change. But it's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of mindset. There's a lot of things in there that you have control over, and it's just getting ahead of it and not feeling so overwhelmed and drowning in it. Get back onto the surface and understand what it is and then move forward from it and revel in those good days.
I agree, you know, and we do have that ability and that power to focus on things that bring us happiness and not to focus on the negative, you know. And I watched my dad do that. He didn't focus on what he couldn't do or what he could no longer do. He focused on what he could still do. Mm-hmm. He could still golf. So he ended up at age 69, he shot 2 hole-in-ones 6 weeks apart.
Oh my gosh.
And then he shot a third one a few months later. So, you know, he focused on his family. He focused on his friends. He focused on his favorite hockey team. He enjoyed his life and he enjoyed every moment he spent with the people he spent his time with. And so that's something that I also took from him, that if I focus on the negative, that's going to impact my emotional state, you know. And it's just like, as I say, I mean, you know, you say all the cliches, they're cliches for a reason. That's because mm-hmm. they are true and we all keep saying them. But, you know, when you have a sore tooth and you just keep poking it with your tongue, it's the same thing. We focus on the negative and our brains are set up that way, right? Our amygdala is that part of our brain is that prehistoric part that's always looking for threats. It's always thinking worst case scenario. So we have to then overpower that with our thinking brain and say, okay, let's look at something positive here. Let's just turn our mind away from that negative thought and think of something more productive, or right. Do something that brings us joy. Listen to music, do an activity, you know, think of a memory that brought us lots of happiness and gratitude.
Absolutely amazing. Deb, can you tell us a little bit, just briefly, about the book and so the listeners know?
Sure. Thank you. So my book is called Finding Your Hey, A Crash Course in Braving Grief and Embracing Joy. And I started writing it long, long, long before I came up with the title. And I actually didn't know what to call it. Nothing was really resonating with me. And then I sort of thought about what inspired everything, which was my dad. And so the hay comes from when he had his heart attack and his stroke. He was in the hospital. And the first time I connected with him was over the phone, and I couldn't understand anything he said. So he lost his speech completely, and he got it back after 2 years of speech therapy. He always had sort of a stroke accent, shall we call it, so a way of speaking, but I wasn't able to understand him at all. So the next morning, the first time I saw him in the hospital, I was walking down toward his room, and I don't know how he knew I was coming, but all of a sudden he jumped out from his room, landed in the middle of the hall, arms outstretched, and yelled, "Hey!" And I just, oh my God, what? And so we just, you know, we hugged, and then we went into his room. And honestly, the word "hey" was the only word I understood him say for our entire visit. And I know what he was doing, obviously. You know, he was, his baby was coming to see him, and he didn't want, you know, me to be upset. So he was sending out this message like, "I'm okay. It's okay. Everything's going to be okay." And so I think he also did it for himself. Mm-hmm. Like, that was him deciding to live his life that way, right? And so when I was going through what I was going through with my daughter, I thought about that, and I thought, you know, I gotta find my hay. My hay is in here somewhere. I don't know where it is, but that, you know, to me, it's that positive attitude. And what are you going to wake up for every day? What are you going to live your life for? Because he woke up every day. He had nowhere to go. Got up, showered, shaved, dressed, you know, and faced each day with positivity. And so that's the name of the book, Finding Your Hay. And so there's all the strategies that I talk about, and the tactics are all from my story and my dad's story, and the stories of my four friends that are in the book.
Very cool. Well, thank you, Deb, for being here. And thanks for sharing your story, your life, and your special daughters, and how much they've contributed to the life you have now, and what you're able to offer others. Even though it's not been a great situation, you know how much that has grown in your life, that you've got that experience now, and it does touch other people.
Thank you so much.
Deb had the opportunity to choose how she would approach change, challenges, and grief associated with loss and disappointment. She didn't recognize it at the time, but she was developing a set of tools which helped her through. She now inspires other people to thrive and find hope, acceptance, peace, and purpose. There are different ways we can feel joy in the face of adversity. Deb mentioned how valuable humor and being able to laugh at a situation is. No one is exempt from the troubles in life. We all have the opportunity to see things in two ways. You can go to the negative, or you can see the positive. Sometimes it's a stretch, but you get to choose. You can learn more about Deb on her website at DeborahCoville.com. I'll be sure to have the links to her website and book in the episode description. I would love to grow this caring support community, so connect with me if you or someone you care about would like to share their experience or know of an organization to help even just one person. Help us reach more listeners with my messages of hope and empowerment by supporting the show. Share this episode with friends and family, or contribute financially. Visit my website to find out more at sailingthroughlifepodcast.com. Stay anchored. Chat with you next time.